I feel very pleased to be part of a community that is so generous and so giving and so talented when I look at all the music and resources we have. Today's theme, with being helpful by Brian redoing my PowerPoint points to be more beautified for you, so I appreciate that. Thank you. Is really about being a bridge builder for intergenerational healing, and this is the main theme. If you get nothing else, it's this phrase. How do we turn our wounds into wisdom? Let me repeat that. That we don't always have a choice about what happens to us, but we do have a choice about transforming them into wisdom, into compassion, into service. So I want to look at, in this particular photo, you'll see my birth family on the left. I'm the one, the little one turning her head. And when I was 33, my mom had died 10 years earlier, and this is my granny, Kathleen, and our daughter, Katie. She was 2 months old. And basically, it was 3 generations, and I'm really happy to announce now 4 generations, because our daughter is going to give birth in January, our first grandchild. So we're excited. And since we're talking about authors, this is a somewhat of a shameless plug for my own book about 52 Global Reflections, a Pilgrim's Travel memoir. And one of the reasons I wrote it, it was because, as I mentioned in March in my sermon, a lot of my family died early. And I had mentioned that in all of my cousins, literally every of the 6 families, half of them had one person die before they were 50. Both my mother, her sister, and my brother died before they were 50. And because of that, there wasn't a lot of history and information about generational trauma. But I knew, because of the early deaths and my own experiences with health issues, that something was going on, I think, in the DNA. And we're discovering more and more information about that. And basically, the other thing I want to mention today was Julie Cho's really thoughtful songs. But the whole theme here is to whatever wound we have, if it's not transformed, it's transmitted to the next generation and future generations. So that's why we're here, is to begin to do that transforming work so that legacy, that burden does not get passed on to the next generations. So in her song, I Release and Let Go, and the key is to let spirit guide us, to be able to let go of our anger, our frustration, and to be able to practice forgiveness, and we'll talk more about that. So Eckhart Tolle talks about in his book, The Pain Body, that in fact, this is the generations, and there's doing more and more research epigenetically about how trauma gets passed on physically to generations. And in fact, in the Native American tradition, there's a sense that that pain goes back 3 generations, and it goes 3 generations forward. And where are we? We're right in that fulcrum, in the middle. So that when we are doing our work, we are supporting healing in the generations, because I believe that healing can happen no matter that someone has died. That we can support their healing, and when we're doing our healing, we support healing for the next generations as well. So we're in a really important space to be able to do that support for healing. One of the people I've studied with is Mark Wolin, and he wrote the book, It Didn't Start With You, But It Can End With You. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that hopeful? That we could, because of the work we're doing, we're not passing it on to the next generation. And what he says, and he's got a new workbook that's coming out December 9th, because he wrote this first book, and he's really been working on this next workbook to be able to look at what are the conscious patterns of how we, our words that we use, give us clues to what some of those ancestral pains might be. So we can unconsciously relive our mother's anxiety, our father's disappointments, and replicating the relationships of our parents. Have you ever noticed that? Just raise a hand. Have you noticed that? Yeah, I have too. So this is from the scripture from Jeremiah that says in the Hebrew Bible, wisdom, that the father or mother has eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Have you noticed that? Yeah, so this is what we're doing. They noticed that earlier in terms of the epigenetically. So we can also inherit fun family traditions and stories of courage and inspiration. So our family history is mixed. It's not all one thing, but we're here today to name some of the pain to be able to transform it for future generations. So one of the things that I do on a regular basis for me, I think I might have skipped one. Let's see. Yes, is to explore the alchemy of anger. So one of the people that I read on a daily basis is Father Richard Rohr, and I know that Reverend James has quoted him many times as well. He's the director of the Center for Contemplation and Action in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he sends out a daily reflection. And his whole thing has been about transforming anger instead of it being a raging fire. Now, it's interesting, I'm taking a class right now with Rabbi Tirza Firestone, who wrote the book Wounds into Wisdom, and she talks about that fire within us in terms of anger is like an inflammation. And how many of you know that inflammation in our body is often the precursor to disease, whether it be cancer or other kinds of ailments? So we want to find ways to transform that anger versus it literally eating us up. Now, I was talking with some people earlier before the service, and one of the things for me that's a tool to transform that anger is called from the emotional freedom techniques. And one of it is a setup in terms of doing a body prayer. And the thing I like the best is that it gets to name what I'm feeling in the moment versus spiritualizing. It says, even though I'm feeling angry, resentful, da-da-da-da-da, I'm open to the possibility that I could be willing to transform that. It doesn't ask me to be willing right away. It asks me to be open to the possibility. And for me, that is our spiritual prayer and hope, is a commitment to be willing to be open to that possibility, even if it's not easy right now. So one of the things when we look at these challenges is to be able to love our enemies. Now, to be honest with you, I took out that line twice. I put it in. I said, oh, it's so hard to love my enemies. So I thought I should put it back in. It's in two Gospels. It's in both John and Luke and Matthew. So I got to put it back in. It's like, that's too hard. I'm going to take it out. put it back in. So I put it back in because, in my opinion, we're living in very polarized times. And there's a lot, whether it be in our own families or politically or in our nation or internationally, and how do we demonstrate respect towards those we disagree with? So this is very challenging, and yet I believe it is our call to be able to practice that in deeper ways and to make amends as needed and to find ways to be this bridge builder with respectful conversations. So one of the things that I do every morning is that I pray the Ho'opono prayer. How many of you have heard the Hawaiian prayer, Ho'oponopono? It was developed by the Hawaiians as a way of doing right relationships and to be able to make repairs and amends. And a psychologist working at a prison in Hawaii, Dr. Liu, Ken Len, actually popularized it, and Joan Vitale and others kind of promoted it, you know, probably in the 80s and 90s. But the prayer that I say in the morning is I'd literally make a sign of the cross. I ask God to transform what I think, what I say, what I feel, and what I do. And then I pray for, we'll talk about in a moment, the saints, in terms of I ask the buddies of mine who have died, my wise and well ancestors. How many of you know some of our ancestors are not wise and they're not well? So I'm not praying to them. I'm asking for those, my buddies, that are healthy, to be a resource for me. So I have a long kind of litany of people I ask for help. I come from a Catholic tradition. And on November 1st, we always celebrate all the saints. It was great because it was the day after Halloween, so we could eat all our candy, be sick, and then have a holiday from school, but we're supposed to be honoring the saints. So the saints that I pray to, I ask for Jesus' help, I ask for Mary and Mary Magdalene and Joseph, and then I have a few other buddies, like St. Jude, he's the patron for impossible cases, and others. So I ask them for their help, and then I pray for the prayer of Ho'oponopono. And I ask in the prayer of Ho'oponopono to pray for those who have died. And I start to list them. Now I list my mom, my dad, my brother, and then there was my stepmother. I wasn't including her. And then I got convicted. I need to include her too. And all those, you know, as part of like the enemies, it's like recognizing, no, I want to be able to transform my relationship with them. I need to include them in my prayers. So I noticed that when I started including them, it shifted my heart to send them blessing instead of omitting them or ignoring them. So that's just important for me to do that. So I list all those who've died and in the generations, my grandparents and aunts and uncles and others who've died. And in there, I set an intention in terms of what is a feeling or relationship that I want to improve. And so like I mentioned when I was thinking about my stepmother, it was recognizing she was a teacher for me. How many of you have had really challenging people in your life who are teachers? Yeah. Well, she was a teacher for me about accepting people that I cannot change and to be able to have compassion for them and compassion for myself when it's not easy. It's to be able, the mantra says, I'm sorry. Now, in the Hawaiian tradition, it's acknowledging my role in the situation. Now, of course, it's always hard for me to recognize my roles really quick when I'm pointing fingers at you to point in your group, but what are the three pointing back at me? So recognizing my role in the situation, asking for forgiveness for any part that I've played, thank you that, in fact, the healing is happening, and to be able to look at sending them love, and then I add, and may you be well, may I be well, because in the Hawaiian tradition, when we do this kind of prayer for reconciliation and healing, in fact, we are releasing and restoring the relationship. So as I mentioned, in November is a packed month. And so I mentioned already All Saints Day on the 1st, All Souls on the 2nd, and on the 11th is Veterans Day, and I want to call up David Cortola to come up to be able to share his reflections on Veterans Day.
More than share, I'd like to recognize, are there veterans here, and would you please stand for a moment? The gentleman over there, I know.
We owe you a debt.
And along with what Susie's speaking about, this wonderful session with her, you gentlemen and ladies have demonstrated to us how you can do something that's difficult in difficult times and difficult places and come home and be who you are now. So our debt of thanks goes out many, many times to you. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
We certainly want to honor all those who have given their lives and also recognizing that the trauma of war often passes on to the next generation because it wasn't safe or okay to talk about those horrors. And yet we know from epigenetic research that in fact it does get passed on. So it's important to be able to recognize and to honor that. The other thing I want to focus on is that you might not know, but today is the UN Day for Practicing Tolerance and Nonviolence. It's today, November 16th. I think it's coming at a very timely space in our history, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally, is how do we practice respect and tolerance, especially with people we strongly disagree with, and of course in preparation for our Thanksgiving celebrations. How many of you have people sometimes who don't come? You know, or they do come and you wish they hadn't because it's challenging, or all of a sudden you get into, you know, arguments and you're supposed to be having this fun family time. And so the goal here in terms of this book that I read by Harville Hunt and his wife, Helen Kelly, is looking at how can I talk with people when I disagree with them? And so the key topics that they were suggesting for tips is to listen first. Remember, two ears, one mouth. So twice as much listening as speaking. And to let them hear and know that they've been heard. Now sometimes, like, okay, you talk, now it's my turn. No, this is about, I want to be able to let you know I have heard you, and I've heard you accurately. And once I've done that, and then I find ways to validate and to empathize with their experience. That doesn't mean I agree with them, but I find a way to get into their shoes, to be able to see things from their perspective, and to be open to the possibility that in fact that is their truth, that is their experience, and how can I do that in a respectful way? So they also talk about maintaining a positive energy for the space between. Not about you, but I start off well, and it sometimes goes downhill. So then we got to be able to take a break. And so we use a timer a lot in my family, where we take a break for a minute, 5 minutes, whatever it is. And sometimes when we're speaking, we set the timer for a minute so someone's not going on forever, and to be able to share what it is. And I don't get my turn until I have accurately reflected back that I heard empathetically and understood what they said. And that helps, I think, to kind of do some of that repairing and that bridge building. The other thing is to seek ways to connect from judgment to finding a shared value. You know, for example, you know, my friend Kathleen, I've known for over 40 years. She's been working with the Canadian Disarmament, and she just attended a conference in Ottawa about 2 weeks ago, and recognized that we're really in stressful times, that the atomic scientists have now set the doomsday clock to 89 seconds before midnight. And some recent decisions in the administration to resume nuclear testing, I think, have been part of that move to set that nuclear, the doomsday talk. We're living in very fragile times and with serious consequences. And then I said before, is the pray for that willingness to love those that we disagree with. So we're going to be able to look at, this is going to be a combination, appreciate Julie and other musicians' patience because I kind of sprung this on them. We're going to do what I'm calling an interactive meditation for the first part, and then we'll have some quiet. So I'd like you to take for a moment to do a call out. What would you say physically have been some of your irritations or vinegar or challenges in your life?
Liars.
Okay. For me, it's been some physical challenges. What else?
Judgers.
Keep going.
Racist.
So physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, anything else?
Itching.
Addiction. Oh, addiction. Addictions. Okay. I'm itching for those addictions. All right.
Manipulators,
yeah. So we've got some good vinegar going here. And then we have, you probably have seen this before, we have what's called a triggering event. So what would be a triggering? You're already stressed. And then what would be a triggering event?
Liars.
Okay. Is that us? Now, I obviously have done this before, so I have a little a little something to capture that. But we're now going to be redoing this experiment with your cotton balls. So take out your cotton balls that Sienna and others brought you earlier today. This is something for you to consider putting on your altar. That for me, these are the things that help us shift from being angry, from darn to narn, to notice, to accept what I'm noticing and feeling, to reframe it, and to be able to respect it, and then to be able to nurture myself in a painful situation. So what would be a physical soother for you that you know has helped calm your nervous system when you're upset or angry?
Music,
of course. Yes, all right. And what else?
Friends.
Prayer.
Meditation.
My dog. Your dog. Exercise.
Reading,
yes. So we've got intellectually, emotionally, spiritually. What else?
Sleep
and?
Exercise,
yes. What else?
Massage.
What was that?
Massage.
Ah, yes, the things that soothe us. How many of you know that when our body is more relaxed, our emotions, our energy, and our ability to think through things is calmer, right? So, just because we've done this doesn't mean we don't have any more stresses, but so we're going to name a few more. Anything else that we didn't name earlier?
PTSD.
What else?
Laughter.
All right, that was a cotton ball. What else would be some stresses?
Depression.
Holidays. Those gatherings, Thanksgiving coming up, all the prep and all the activities and all the people who come.
Loneliness,
yes. So I'm not sure if you can hear this or see this, But we still have a triggering event. For me, it was having a plan and things didn't go as I wanted. But what do you notice? Yeah, so it's not like we don't get rid of our stresses, but we literally have new tools or cotton balls to be able to absorb the stresses so that we can feel that little rumbling, but I know, oh, that's my reminder. I need to take some time out. I need to be able to pray. I need to be able to get some exercise and physically get that out. So that's what we're going to do now into the more quiet reflection, is to focus on, and I thought I had it, Julie, can I look at your hand up? Is to move into a quiet reflection for our meditation. So if you would take a moment, just move your shoulders, get into a quiet space here, and to look at what have been your stresses. To notice what have been your cotton balls. How do you soothe yourself physically? How are you taking time for rest, play, exercising, eating healthily? How do you soothe yourself intellectually? What are you focusing on? What inspires you? How are you soothing yourself emotionally? What encourages you to be willing to practice forgiveness? To lay your fears before spirit, to release them, and to let go of past hurts. To be open to healing. How do you soothe yourself spiritually? What nurtures you to experience a river of life flowing out of you to feel healed, whole, enough, just as you are in this moment? How are you releasing and letting go and allowing spirit to inspire, comfort, and guide you in your life? And as you call upon your wise and well ancestors and favorite saints to support you in your healing, is there someone special in your life who hopes to hear this message of love and support? As we listen to the words of the upcoming song, Opening Doors, ask for guidance to lay down your fears before God, to open up to the flow of the Holy Spirit, and ask for healing and insight to reveal your gift that's been stored. What is the wisdom specifically that you have gained from your wounds? And then ask Spirit how you can release your gift and share it with our world.
Someone here is healing. Someone's yearning for more. Someone's got a gift to give, one that's surely been stored. I'm gonna risk in this moment, lay adore flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, I am open. Flow through me. Someone here is risking, someone's opening the door. Someone's just got to give, risk it all for more. I'm gonna risk in this moment, lay my fears before God, give them up to a higher power and walk through that door. Flow through me, flow through me, Holy Spirit, I am open. Flow through me. Every day I'm risking, trusting fully in my source, singing glory, hallelujah, keeps me walking through them doors. I'm gonna risk in this moment, lay my fears before God, give them up to a higher power and walk through that door. Flow through me, flow through me, Holy Spirit, I am open.